Oh, aren't you glad we're not alone in this universe? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Appreciate everything that's been done to honor our fathers today and the emphasis. And one more thing, as you leave today, fathers, there's a token gift as you leave just to show that we do honor our fathers around this place. Amen. I had this thought right before I came up that because of the way my children were spaced, I'm going to be raising children for about 34 years. That's a big hunk of your life right there. But one good thing about Father's Day is I get to pick where we eat. And so I'm going to preach in a hurry because we're going to Dairy Queen today. All right, yeah. John 14, I'm going to read two verses, verses 8 and 9. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, now, I'm not sure, maybe he did because he was human. I'm not sure if Jesus experienced exasperation, but this kind of seems like to me exasperation. Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? How have you missed this? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Amen. That would be wonderful for each of us dads to say in Christ's words. I know the theology is different. We're not an incarnation of God. But it would be wonderful if our children, and it could be said of us to our children, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to say that? If you've seen your earthly Father, you have seen your heavenly Father. And so I'm going to preach this morning, the Father seen in this Father. The Father seen in this Father. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the people that have gathered together. Thank you for the sense of your presence, the divine one. Thank you, Lord, that in even this service, if we so allow, you'll do eternal things in our heart. Thank you, Lord, for our fathers, families, all of your people this morning. May our time in your word be profitable, Lord. May we hear from heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I begin, you can be seated. Before I begin, you know, it seems like an odd thing, but when our kids are little, they have a birthday, and we talk about a birthday spanking, right? And then we have Father's Day, and dad say, oh, great, I get to go to church and get preached at this morning. And it may not seem right, but just remember that is the way we honor our fathers. We preach at them. When I was gone to Oklahoma, and I began speaking that evening, the day speaker did Sunday morning, but I stayed with my parents, so I got up early to drive further down the corner of Oklahoma to be a part of that service. And I was listening to a station that you can get all over Oklahoma. It's kind of a mixture of, I call it country and charismatic. You hear songs you normally don't hear on our stations up here, and you're probably saying, thank the Lord. But one of the songs I heard that Sunday morning that just really touched my heart, and all only thing I remember was the repeated phrase. It was a prayer, and it said, till, speaking to the children, till they see my Father in me. Till they see my Father in me. And I thought, oh, that's what I want. I want my children to see the Father in this Father. Amen. An earthly father is seen in his sons. Isn't that right? An earthly father is seen in his sons. Our older son, Micah, I've heard his wife say, you're acting just like your dad. And I'll punch him and I say, son, she's complimenting you. Yeah. If there's anything my younger son hates is when people say, you look just like your dad. You walk just like your dad. You act just like your dad. He don't like that. I say, son, the only thing they're doing, they're just complimenting how handsome you are, and they're complimenting how humble you are. And somehow those don't go together, but anyway. Well, what else can you do but joke about it? I mean, it's a scary thing to think we duplicate ourselves in our children. Has that ever frightened anybody else? You see, the truth of the matter is, your earthly father, you may be 80 years old today, but your earthly father is seen in you, and you as a father will be seen in your children. But the question today is my father seen in this earthly father? That's the question. If the heavenly father is not seen in me, how will he ever be seen in my children? More than anything, I'm convinced of this, more than anything, our children, I'm speaking particularly to those with dependent children, but even beyond that, more than anything, our children need to see the heavenly Father in their earthly father. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. And you know, here's another, you're talking about frightening things. Here's another frightening thing. Do you know that those researchers who research the psychology of raising a child say that until a child is a certain age, and I've forgotten the exact age, it's up there 7, 8, 9 years old, that the concept they have of God is inseparable from the concept they have of their father. By the way, that's why so many people are messed up in their understanding of who God is, because they've had a bad example as a father. But think about that. Until a certain age, psychologically, mentally, a child cannot separate what they think about God from what they think about their father. What a responsibility. Oh, may the heavenly Father be seen in this earthly father. May his love, his mercy, his long-suffering, his kindness, his grace, amen, his truth, may the heavenly Father be seen in this father. A wise man once said, a child is not likely to find a father in God until he has found God in his father. Think about that. Think of that in terms of our godless society. A child is not likely to find a father in God until he has found God in his father. Amen. Now, here's what I want to do the next few moments. I'm convinced a heavenly father will only be seen in this earthly father if some conditions are met in my life. So the heavenly father is only going to be seen in this earthly father, first of all, if he is my father. I can't expect the heavenly father to be seen in the earthly father unless the heavenly father is my father. Amen. That's the only way he's going to be seen. And you say, what are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about that heavenly father seen in me when I have come to the place of the surrender of my life to God. I've invited God into my heart, my life, my soul, my living. I have become a born-again creation where my life and nature is God's. It's when God the Father is in me through Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. The only way the Father is going to be seen in me is if he is in me. I know this is a great mystery. Paul said it was, but he said, to whom God hath made known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. My children will see the heavenly Father in me if the heavenly Father is in me. Now this lets us know something else about the heavenly Father and they're seeing him. It's not that I just try to emulate my heavenly Father for them to see. It's that they're literally seeing the life of the heavenly Father in me. It's not an acting. It's not a role playing of the heavenly Father. But if you know God, if you've surrendered your life to God, if you've given yourself to him, the heavenly Father really is in you. And they see God. They see the heavenly Father in you. Oh, what a thought. Another condition here. The heavenly Father is only seen in this earthly father if this earthly father is a person who repents. That's a word you don't hear much about anymore. It's the reason our nation, our homes, our marriages are in the trouble that they're in, is people don't want to repent. Now, you may take exception with me, but I certainly put myself in the category. None of us fathers are perfect. That does not come as a revelation. Amen. If you think you as a father are perfect. Would you give me permission to talk to your wife and children? We're not. We're flawed. I'm here to make you feel good about yourself, fathers. We're messed up. We got corny ideas. We make mistakes. Come on now. And here's the trouble with that. Let me just be blunt. Sometimes we fathers, we sin. Amen. Well, I don't. He that saith he have no sin is a liar and the truth is not in him. I'm quoting scripture. We sin. Well, what's the problem with that? Children cannot see the Heavenly Father through sin in their father's life. Can't do it. When your children look at you and my children look at me, they can't see the Heavenly Father through all the failures, the wrong, the sin. If that sin, that failure is unrepented. But there's something about the act of repentance. When a dad repents, when he says first of all to God, I'm sorry. When he says to his wife, I'm sorry. When he says to his children, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said it. I shouldn't have done it. I shouldn't have been like that. And more than just sorry, you see so many people, they equate that with repentance just to say you're sorry. But repentance goes beyond that. It says, I shouldn't have done that. I don't want to do that. I reject that. I don't want that a part of my life. I want to be different. It was wrong. It was wrong for me in any condition, at any time. There's just something about when a father is a father that repents of the mess ups, the flaws, the sins. Amen. More than any time, the children are able to see the Heavenly Father and that kind of repenting father. You don't believe it. You may be here this morning and you do not really serve God. God's not really in your life and you've got children. I promise you one thing. If in sincerity and honesty you come to this altar this morning, you repent of your sins, you confess them, you say to God, I'm wrong. I don't want to live like this, be like this. I promise you, when you get up, your children, your wife will see a change in you and they'll come to understand that that difference that they're seeing, that change that they're seeing is none other but the Heavenly Father that you've allowed into your life and surrendered your heart to. It's when we repent that the Heavenly Father is seen in this earthly father. Amen. And I know it's the wrong season and the wrong temperature, but as I was mulling this point, I kept thinking about the insert of our fireplace. It has a glass panel in the door. And you know, to look at a fire is a lovely thing, but if you leave the door open, the coals pop out and burn things, and there's a danger there, so you keep the door shut. You get more efficiency out of your heat, but you like to look at the fire. My wife, she really loves to look at that fire burning, not this time of year, but she loves to see that. But the trouble is, when you shut the door and you got the draft right, amen, it's not long until the fire, amen, smokes up the glass, and that glass will get as black as the metal of the door. And when that glass smokes up, you can't see the fire in within. It might even be there, but you can't see it because the glass is all smoked up. But I can take a razor blade and scrape it, take some cleaner and clean that, and shut that door, and you can see the fire within again. Amen. Father, sometimes the mess ups kind of pile up, and the things, the imperfections, they smoke up the glass of our heart, and our family looks at us, and our children, and our spouse, and the men at work look at us, and they can't really tell if God is within or not. But I'll tell you what repentance does. It cleans the glass of our life and our heart. It just takes off that black smoke. Amen. And people can see that the Heavenly Father is within us. Even I've used the example of Jesus. Jesus is different. He had no sin to smog up, smoke up, smut up. Amen. His life. He could say to Philip at any time, any place, anywhere, to anyone else, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Amen. In that respect, we're not like Jesus. We're not sinless. And we need more than once. Sometimes more than not just once in our life or once in our month. But sometimes sometimes more than once in a day. Amen. We need to find ourselves before God. I'm sorry. I repent. I don't want that in my life. I don't want to be that way. And I'll tell you what will happen. You're just cleaning the glass where they can see the heavenly Father within the earthly Father. Amen. The heavenly Father will not be seen in this earthly Father if this Father, he'll only be seen if this Father lives it. You know, kids can pick up on that quicker than anything, of whether parents live what they say they believe. You know, when Jesus said to Philip, "He that has seen me has seen the Father," we got to understand, in that different context of time, Jesus' ministry on earth, Philip with the other disciples was with Jesus 24/7 for about 3 years. They ate together. They slept at the same places. 24/7, Brother Wilson, Philip and the disciples were with Jesus. They saw him in every situation. You know, a lot of people can hold it together for the hour of church, but 24/7? Those disciples saw every expression of Jesus' face. They heard the inflections of his voice. They saw him when he was attacked. They saw him when he was misunderstood. They saw him when people mocked him. Every situation, every kind of pressure. And Jesus said, "Philip, you've been here 24/7 for about 3 years. If you've looked at my life, you have seen the Father." What did Philip see? He didn't see anger at people. He didn't see cruelty. He didn't. All the only thing he saw in Christ was compassion and love and caring and concern. Amen. 24/7. You see, Jesus could say that because he lived it. It's only what we live of this thing that children will accept as real and valid. Amen. You know, it's been said many times, and it's so true. What a child learns about God is not taught, it's caught. I don't know if you're like me. I'm a lecturer, proud of it. I got PowerPoints when I talk to my kids. No, I'm joking, I don't. How many's got a dad that was or is a lecturer? I mean, every little thing, step one, two, three, let's go, let's explore, let's explain, let's proclaim, let's... Here's illustrations. Here's, amen. And I know we got to teach some things, but they catch or they get very little of that. What they learn from is that example, that modeling. Amen. That's what they see. I'll tell you what children see. They see when something bad comes on the television, they say, see dad turning the TV off, say, "We're not watching that junk." They catch stuff like that. They catch things like daddy smashes his thumb. And instead of curse words, he says, "Glory to God." They catch things like that. They catch when dad is kind and caring and godly at home. Listen, if the Heavenly Father's seen in me, it's going to be because I live this thing. I think of this a lot because as a pastor, my greatest desire is that people come to church and encounter God. There's a social element to this, fellowship, there's all of that. But the main important thing, my concern is when people come to church, they experience God. I don't know if they still do this, but they used to distinguish children's church from main church in the sanctuary by calling children's church little church and calling what was happening in the sanctuary big church. I remember they used to, do that. Well, when people come to big church, we want them to experience God. I want to tell you something. Unless our kids, Dad, experience God in the little church of their home, they're not very likely to experience him in the big church, in this sanctuary. Amen. Oh, I'll tell you, children who thrive. Now, I can't qualify everything. Thank God for his mercy, his love, his grace, his power. You can come from a home with an ungodly example of parents and don't serve the Lord. And our God is mighty and able to save and to change and deliver. Aren't you thankful for that? But it's this matter of living it in the home. They see the heavenly Father in the earthly Father. And you know, I can't remember very few of the details, but I recently was hearing a man preach, and he was talking about a family in the church, been in the church for years and years, and their daughter grew up in that church. And when she got of age, she went just wild, just everything she'd been taught against, and lived in sin and promiscuity and all of that. And so her parents were having a season of trying to talk to her, and they said to her, "Why? We raised you in church. You heard the things preached. We took you to the services. Why? And as close as I could remember, that daughter answered those parents, and she says, "Why? Because you never brought home what you were at church. You never brought home what you were at church." I'm telling you, it matters that we live it. We're not living it because we have to. We live it because there's the power of life within us. And we have set ourselves and our heart to please the Lord and to lead our families in the things of righteousness. Amen. Amen. The Heavenly Father is seen in this Father. If this Father serves. Oh, we live in such a narcissistic, self-centered society where everything is about the individual. Amen. But I tell you, the Heavenly Father is only seen in me. Amen. When I serve. You know, Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." What was the thing that characterized Jesus' ministry? He said, "I didn't come to be served. I came to serve." It was because Jesus served people that he could say, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." I thought of a particular instance in my upbringing. My dad was on the church board. He was a deacon, and they went through this process about a building project, and I'm not going to go into that and the reasons why, yada, 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 but my father really felt that was something the church should not be involved in. They should not be reaching out in that particular way. They shouldn't be spending the money on that particular building, and you know how, you don't catch it all as a kid, but you know, that was kind of a major issue in the church and a business meeting and all of this, and my dad was against it. He was. And the men were going to do the work themselves. But let me tell you what I picked up as a kid. Never ask him about it. Even though he was against it, he'd get off work, get home at 4:30. Every night, for week after week, month after month, he would drive straight to that church, build on that building project that he was against, never said a word. One of the few men that stuck it out till the final coat of paint was put on it. He every night built on that thing. Him being for or against it, that said nothing to me. What said something to me is him giving up every evening, working as late as he could to build on a project because it was for the church. Amen. Did you know, kids, they get that. Amen. That's serving the Lord. Amen. They know when dad's tired, and yet he comes to church in revival. They see dad giving up his day off for sidewalk Sunday school. Amen. They see the special things dad does by helping the neighbor. Somebody in the church needs help with their car. They fix it. Amen. I'm telling you, they'll see God, the Heavenly Father, in their earthly father when they see a father that serves. I told my Sunday school class this, and they didn't kick me out, so maybe you won't either. I hope you'll be understanding. But when I don't even know if we had Hannah yet, because Mike was pretty small. Probably did. Maybe he was a little older, maybe about 7, 8 years old. We used to go to the library downtown, and it's got that big park there. Well, there's always people there, you know, homeless and different ones, some of them very sad situations. And we were getting ready to walk in. There was a man in a wheelchair there. And I felt prompted in my heart, we need to try to talk to this fellow about the Lord. So I stopped. And I began to talk to him about the Lord. And as I'm talking to him about Christ, he's got this, you know, kind of this pouch thing. And he's trying to unzip it. And I noticed that through injury or whatever, he had nothing but kind of stubs left on his hands. And he's trying to unzip that thing. Well, help the fella. All right, that's okay, isn't it? Well, then I noticed as I kept talking to him, he's trying to get a pack of cigarettes. So he finally gets a pack of cigarettes out, and he gets one, and he looks up at me, and he says, "Do you have a light?" And I said, "No." I may get kicked out over this. I don't know. And then as I continued talking about the Lord, I realized I just lied. I didn't mean to. But we had just had a wedding or a Christmas thing or whatever, and I'd had a big lighter that I had lit the candles with. And I had left it in that suit, and that was the same suit I had on that day. So I said, oh, yeah, I do. I have a light. And he said, well, here. And just reaction without thinking. I flicked the Bic, and I put it under a cigarette. And then it hit me. Not only people driving by and see me lighting cigarettes, my son just saw me light a cigarette. I'm against smoking for the dangers, the harm, the hurt to the temple of God. And that bothered me. And I've never asked him about it. That bothered me for a long time. Did my son see that example of me sliding it? Did that mess him up? And then I could only pray, God, I hope what he saw wasn't lighting a cigarette. I hope what he saw is my trying to help some man that didn't have hands and knees. I hope what he saw is that we paused to try to tell that man about Jesus. Amen. I'm not preaching you should go around asking folks if they need their cigarette lit. But I'm convinced our children see God in us when we serve. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. Would you come, music? I'm convinced that dads that have the least impact on influencing their children towards God are those that make everything about themselves. Everything in the home, everything that's done, everywhere we go. They have so little impact upon children because it's all about dad. But let me tell you who makes an impact upon their children. It's dads who selflessly give themselves to serve God and to serve others. America would not be in the shape it is in on this June Sunday in 2016. It would not be in this shape if the earthly fathers were determined that the heavenly Father would be seen by their children in their lives. I want him seen there, don't you? Amen. I read this week about a Sunday school teacher of what's the little ones called? Toddlers, but the next group there. Pardon? Preschoolers. He was teaching them Sunday school. He was also one of the ministers of the church, and he had been asked to preach on Father's Day. And so he thought it'd be a good idea for his sermon to have those kids draw pictures of God, and he would show those during his sermon. And so he handed out the paper and the crayons or whatever they used, and he told them what he wanted. He said, I want you to draw me a picture of God. And some of the kids, you know, they drew rainbows. That made them think of God. He said some drew God. I don't know why this was a recurring theme, but they showed a figure of a man with great big hands, and that was God. He said his own daughter was in the class, and when she handed him her picture, she had drawn a picture of a man in a suit and a tie, and he said, is this God to his daughter? And she said, well, you know, I've never seen God. I don't know what he looks like. So I just drew my dad instead. Whew, what a responsibility. Now, we're living in a time that people don't like truth. Isn't that right? But you know, Jesus told us something else. He said there's one of two fathers, spiritual fathers we can have. How many knows that Jesus said that there's one of two spiritual fathers we can have? We can have our heavenly Father as our spiritual father, or we can have the enemy of humanity in this world, Satan, as our spiritual father. And he pulled no punches. One time he just told them, he said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. I want to tell you, one of the saddest things is some children are seeing the spiritual father in their earthly father. But it literally is the devil, the destroyer, the accuser. Well, that's a question for every father. Which father do your children see in your life? I want them to see the Heavenly Father. Don't you want him to work on you, talk to you, move in your life? till the Father is seen in this Father. Could you stand all over the building? Hallelujah. 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 Praise the name of the Lord. I admire the fathers of our church. I think highly of them. Amen. My prayer today is that God would bless you and strengthen you. My prayer is also, knowing how things are in life and living, when things become routine and mundane and the pressure settles in, how easy it is to get askewed and for the glass to get darkened. And I think it'd be a wonderful time that we just say, God, more than anything, I want the Heavenly Father to be seen in this Father. Dads, many, many times you're called to man up, cowboy up, whatever you want to say. But there's no more important time than manning up, than in the presence of God. And when God speaks to us and truth comes to us, and we just say, yes, Lord, not my will, your will. Not my way, your way. Not my thoughts, your thoughts. I want the Heavenly Father to be seen in this Father. So first of all, fathers, right here, wherever you're at, we got young fathers, to fathers whose kids have been out of the house for 60 years. But would you just lift up your heart and hand, and would you make that a prayer and say, Heavenly Father, I want you to be seen in this Father. Could you do that? Heavenly Father, I want you to be seen in this Father. I want you in my life. I want you a part of my life. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, let's let the Holy Spirit move upon us, fathers. Hallelujah. Maybe there needs to be some glass cleaning that the Father within could be seen. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me of that attitude. Forgive me of that decision. Forgive me, Lord, of that anger. Forgive me of that reaction. Forgive me, Lord, of that unkindness. Forgive me of that lack of patience. Father, I need you. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 For a moment, I want to pause. If you're here today and you're a dad, but you're not following God, you're not serving God, you're not surrendering your life to Him, I want to invite you to these steps we use as an altar, and folks will be here to pray with you. But you're here this morning, and as a father, you want God in your life. You want to invite Him into your life, whatever terminology you want to use. You want to be saved, whatever it is. Amen. I'd like to invite you right now, Dad. Would you come? You need God in your life. You just confess. You just say, He's not in my life. But I want my children to see the Heavenly Father in this Father. Are you here? Anyone in the building? The Spirit of God is speaking. The Spirit of God is drawing. Hallelujah. 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 Are you here? Would you like to come and totally surrender your life to God? What about it, young dad? Amen. 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 Let me see your hand if you have a father in the house. If you've got a father in the house. All right. If you can get to him, we'll conclude our service this way. These altars are still open. And folks may be inclined to come as we do this. Amen. Would you do what you need to do to get with your father and pray with him right now? Amen. Would you do that? All over the building. Just begin to move out. Amen. You might have to say to someone, excuse me, I got a dad over there I need to get to. Amen. Young people, won't you find your father? Could you do that? Amen. Would you go to them? Amen. Amen. Find your father. These altars are still open, this place right here, if you need to invite God in your life. Amen. Would you make your way to your father? Amen. Would you thank God for him? Would you pray that God would strengthen him and empower him? Amen. We're not trying to exclude anybody this morning. This is just a special emphasis service. Would you pray with your father? Go ahead, take him on. I mean, really pray. Amen. Dad's the first to admit, I need God's help. I need God's strength. I need him in my life. Some of you came to make your dad's day special. Would you pray with him? Amen. Just begin to pray in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Families bind together. Families love one another this morning. Families pray for the head of the home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's it. Just pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Fathers, pray for yourself. Say, may I have a clean glass of my heart. May it not be blackened and keep my children from seeing you and me. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Oh, that's it, church. Pray. Pray together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise you. Hallelujah. Let them see Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. We have a sister praying over here. Some of you ladies would come and pray. Anyone else like to come and just totally surrender your life? Amen. To God this morning. You don't have to be a father. Might be a young person who's going to be a father. Amen. You might be a mom, but you want the same to be true of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, till the heavenly Father is seen in this earthly Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Folks are praying. Amen. Be back tonight. Let's let God help us tonight in the service. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus.